My name is Andrew Reyes, and I'm co-presenting with my colleague here, Alana Lebron, about changes in discrimination around cardiovascular disease and cardiovascular health in Detroit, Michigan, which is a northern border crossing, and surprising similarities with the previous presentation, what's going on in the Deep South. So for those of you who don't know, Detroit has the busiest northern border crossing in the country, and the Latino community sits right on the crossing, the bridge. We actually look south across a river to a foreign country, the way when Canada is right under Detroit. So we have no relationships to disclose. So there have been a number of studies that have shown that discrimination is linked with poor mental, general and cardiovascular health. However, few of those studies have looked at how changes in discrimination have really shaped health. And those that have looked at those changes have found an association with worsening mental health and metabolic health following increases in discrimination. To our knowledge, none of these studies have considered some of the changes in discrimination in the context of changes in social and political changes that are happening. And few of these studies have considered their associations in samples that look at, that include a large sampling of Latinos. So our work is going to be extending some of these studies by considering some of the health implications towards Latinos related to interpersonal and institutional discrimination for Latinos as well as non-Latino blacks. So as probably many of you know, Latinos and blacks have always navigated his policies and practices of exclusion, not just in recent time, but historically. So, but predominantly after 9/11, there was an increase in all these anti-immigration policies that several people have talked about, and some of the practices and sentiments that we hear in the media and a lot of public people that target immigrants of color and their co-ethnics, particularly Latino immigrants in their community. So as you can see in this chart, removals and deportations have increased steadily since 9/11 and have kind of leveled out in the past couple of years to around 400,000 a year. And the largest overwhelmingly percentage of those are from Latin America. And then you can see the numbers from comparable from other groups. ICE, or the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, which is one of the programs under Homeland Security that's tasked with immigration enforcement, has provided us with a number of a lot of the data, which shows that out of those 400 and some thousand deportations, 357,000 of those were in 2013 alone, and 68% of those were from Mexican descent, and 97% were people from Latin American countries. So in this kind of an environment, as other presenters have spoken about, this daily reality poses threats for Latino immigrants and co-ethnics, people of Latino descent who may not be immigrants, which are also the largest and fastest growing racial and ethnic minority group in the U.S. And this context has adverse implications for health on the Latino community, but there are very few studies that are examining this. So we also know that historically African Americans and non-Latino blacks have suffered from historical differentials in the policing of black communities, discrimination, historical barriers in education, employment, and housing. And there has also been a recent increase that we've seen in the data of racist policies and violence against blacks that we've seen, which has kind of resulted in a lot of new movements around Black Lives Matter. So a lot of this, the study and this work is drawn from the Healthy Environments Partnership, which is a community-based participatory research partnership in the city of Detroit that includes several community-based organizations, as well as a couple of health institutions and the University of Michigan School of Public Health, and also a few community members at large. And through this partnership, a lot of the data was collected at two points, one in 2002 and one in 2008, where we looked at cardiovascular health and stress in the population.
So there were two overarching research questions that guided the study about changes in discrimination over time and the implications for cardiovascular health. First, we examined whether from 2002 to 2008, Latinos and non-Latino blacks experienced greater increases in discrimination when compared to non-Latino whites. And we hypothesized that Latinos would report a greater increase in discrimination when compared to whites, and that blacks would report an increase in discrimination that fell somewhere between reports of discrimination for whites and Latinos over this time period of 2002 to 2008. And we operationalized discrimination using the everyday unfair treatment and acute unfair treatment scales, which I'll discuss shortly. The second overarching research question was whether these hypothesized increases in discrimination were associated with increases in blood pressure. And we hypothesized that Latinos would experience greater increases in blood pressure when compared to blacks and whites, and that this association would be explained by increases in discrimination over this time period. And we also asked whether among Latinos these associations varied by nativity, given qualitative evidence indicating that Latino immigrants are adversely affected by increases in anti-immigrant sentiments and restrictive immigration policies, and given the dearth of evidence at the time that we initiated this work regarding implications for the health of the U.S.-born Latino population. As Angie mentioned, the data for this study are drawn from the Healthy Environments Partnership Community Survey, which was conducted in 2002 and in 2008 in three neighborhoods in Detroit that have been adversely affected by cardiovascular disease. For the purposes of this study, because we're interested in the association of changes in discrimination over time with changes in health, we restricted this analysis to the 219 participants who had survey data and clinical data at both time points. And with respect to the statistical analyses, we used generalized estimating equations because of the longitudinal nature of these data. So for the first research question, discrimination was assessed using the everyday unfair treatment and acute unfair treatment scales that were developed by David Williams and colleagues and used in the Detroit area study. These were included as the dependent variable in the first set of models. And everyday unfair treatment is conceptualized as assessing the frequency of discrimination in day-to-day encounters. And items in this scale included participants' reports of the frequency of being treated with less courtesy or respect than others, receiving poorer service than others in places like restaurants or stores, encounters in which people acted as if they were not smart or they were afraid of them, and their sense that they were threatened or harassed in their day-to-day life. The acute unfair treatment scale was conceptualized as assessing less frequent encounters of unfair treatment or discrimination, but encounters that could adversely alter their social or economic trajectory and opportunities. And this scale asked about unfair treatment concerning work, in encounters with police or immigration officials, in encounters with schools, anything related to housing or getting resources or money or accessing medical care. And we looked at this scale in two ways. So we looked at experiences of acute unfair treatment over the person's life course, as well as in the past year. For the second research question regarding implications of changes in discrimination for changes in cardiovascular health, we looked at systolic blood pressure and diastolic blood pressure as the outcome variables in these models. And these were assessed as the average of the second and third blood pressure assessments taken at the time of the interview, and were entered into the models as separate outcome variables and as continuous variables. So for the second set of research questions, discrimination became the independent variable in those analyses. Other independent variables included self-reported race and ethnicity, and we used a system that was in accordance with the 2000 U.S. Census definitions of racial and ethnic groups. And so anyone who identified as Latino, regardless of their racial identity, was classified as Latino. those who identified as non-Latino and Black were classified as non-Latino Black, and those who identified as white and non-Latino were classified as non-Latino white. And in models that included whites were the referent group in these analyses. Another independent variable was time, so whether the survey and clinical data were collected in 2002 or 2008. And in models restricted to Latinos, we accounted for nativity, so whether participants reported being born inside the United States or in another country. And there were several covariates in these analyses that accounted for social and economic factors, as well as high blood pressure and medication use. So this slide shows the relative change in unfair treatment by race and ethnicity from 2002 to 2008. The purple bars represent patterns for Latinos, the green bars represent those for non-Latino Blacks, and these are all in comparison to non-Latino whites. So we found that over this six-year time period, Blacks reported significantly greater increases in everyday unfair treatment when compared to whites. There was no difference in changes in acute unfair treatment in the past year for by race or ethnicity. And with respect to lifetime acute unfair treatment, Latinos reported greater increases in acute unfair treatment over their life course when compared to whites. Patterns were in a similar direction for Blacks, but they did not reach statistical significance for lifetime acute unfair treatment. We then looked at the association of these changes in unfair treatment over the six-year period with changes in blood pressure. And we found that there was no significant difference by race and ethnicity in the association of changes in everyday unfair treatment or acute unfair treatment in the past year with blood pressure. We did, however, find differences by race and ethnicity for lifetime acute unfair treatment and its association with changes in blood pressure. We didn't see a difference between Latinos and whites for this measure, but for Blacks, when compared to whites, increases in lifetime acute unfair treatment were associated with increases in systolic blood pressure, but not diastolic blood pressure. And we then moved into models that looked at the associations of changes in unfair treatment with changes in blood pressure just for Latinos, and looked to see if these patterns differed by nativity. And we found that U.S.-born Latinos experienced greater increases in blood pressure attributed to increases in everyday unfair treatment when compared to immigrant Latinos, and this was for diastolic blood pressure only. There was no difference in the association of acute unfair treatment in the past year with changes in blood pressure for Latinos by nativity. And Latinos across generations, so both U.S.-born and immigrant Latinos, experienced increases in blood pressure that were attributed to increases in lifetime acute unfair treatment over this six-year period. And this was seen for both systolic and diastolic blood pressure. So to synthesize these findings, we found that Blacks reported significant increases in everyday forms of discrimination or unfair treatment when compared to whites over this period. There was no difference by race or ethnicity in patterns related to acute unfair treatment in the past year. And Latinos reported significant increases in lifetime acute unfair treatment over this period when compared to whites. And with respect to implications for blood pressure, we really saw persistent associations with the association of changes in lifetime acute discrimination with changes in blood pressure. That is, Blacks compared to whites experienced greater increases in systolic blood pressure linked with increases in acute discrimination over their life course. And when we looked specifically at Latinos, the U.S.-born group, as well as immigrant Latinos, experienced increases in systolic and diastolic blood pressure linked with lifetime acute unfair treatment.
So what does this mean? So we do know that African Americans have, because of the historic discrimination, institutional and interpersonal discrimination that they've experienced, that they the findings are probably attributed to that, particularly in Detroit. In that same time period, there was a significant deterioration of the everyday quality of life for people across the city, and since Detroit is predominantly African American, they felt those that impact much more acutely. For Latinos, the increase in lifetime acute unfair treatment is most probably attributed to these changes in policy and where Latinos are interfacing with institutions rather than in their everyday life. These increases in acute forms of discrimination are also associated with poor health and cardiovascular health in particular. So showed significant increases in both U.S.-born and immigrant Latinos. And we attributed that to the fact that racial profiling affected both groups. Well, you saw some of the previous data where there was, in some cases, a higher impact on everyday discrimination on native-born Latinos as opposed to immigrant. Some of that probably had to do with the fact, too, with same with the driver's license, whether or not Latinos are leaving the community, the Latino community, and going beyond the Latino community and what they're interfacing at that particular time as well. So those differences are probably attributed to some of the changes in the environment and the policies impacting the community. And also there are many families that have mixed status where you have some people who may be undocumented in the same family where there are also U.S.-born Latinos.
And to close, we'd like to thank the Healthy Environments Partnership for their support of this study and the opportunity to do this work and their helpful feedback as we've contextualized these findings. I'd also like to thank my dissertation committee who gave me very valuable feedback over the course of my dissertation and helped me to further evolve some of this work. And we'd like to thank our institutional forms of support, including the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences and the Center for Research on Ethnicity, Culture, and Health at the University of Michigan. Thank you. Questions? Yes.
I am curious how you got the self-report of Latino race and ethnicity and why you chose not to also analyze the Afro-Latino experience versus non-Afro-Latino experience.
That's a great question. So we definitely acknowledge heterogeneity within the Latino sample. These data were restricted to 219 participants who had data at both time points, and the sample included about 59 Latinos. So just numerically, there's not the ability to look too deeply at subgroup differences. And in this sample, there were not many folks who identified as both Black and Latino. But I think that that's an area for future work with other data sets that involve large samples of Latinos from various backgrounds.
Detroit, the Latino population in Detroit is heavily Mexican as opposed to other Latino groups too,
yeah.
So the sample is pretty small, so it's hard to get a lot of data.
Great question. So demographically, Latinos were significantly younger than Blacks and whites in this sample. I can't recall off the top of my head, but I think the average age for Latinos was about 40 at baseline, so in 2002, and everyone aged by about 6 years over time in this study. And it was slightly older for Blacks and whites, so I think around 46 or 48 was the mean age. And there were more women in the sample than men, but there were women and men in the sample. Yes, Amy, and then Juanita. Yep, I think that's a great point. So the way we're beginning to understand some of these findings is that Blacks have navigated persistently high levels of institutional and interpersonal discrimination, and there has absolutely been this change and increase over the 2002 to 2008 period, but there's been this significant social policy change that's unfolded for Latinos across the country, and we've seen specific ways in which that's intersected in Detroit with it being a border, northern border community. Immigration enforcement, restrictive enforcement, is seen as the largest social policy change in the 21st century. So that's how we sort of understand these findings, is that there are both social and economic and political factors that are unfolding for both groups over time and with respect to the context in Detroit. But what's unique for Latinos is the immigration piece and the collaboration with law enforcement agencies and federal immigration enforcement. But absolutely, the targeting of Black communities, Black individuals by police forces is likely operating here as well.
And that's changed over time because there was a concerted effort to increase the number of African Americans who were in the police force in Detroit, and we were under federal oversight for many, many years. So Detroit currently doesn't have the same kind of conflict in many cases, not as much as in other cities, between the African American population and the Detroit police force. There's been a lot more effort to really address a lot of those relationships, so you don't see those same acute kind of conflicts between the African American community and law enforcement in Detroit currently, as it was historically.
Juanita?
Thank you all so much for your presentation. I really enjoyed it. My question is, and I don't know if I missed this, were you able to disentangle between those Latino immigrants who are undocumented and those who are documented?
A great question. No, we did not have information about that in this study. This is part of a larger body of work. So in my dissertation, I did do interviews with Latinos across immigrant generations and those in the immigrant group. Some did identify as undocumented, but we don't have quantitative data regarding documentation status. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I may have misunderstood this, but I believe you showed that there was a greater increase in blood pressure for U.S. born versus or non-U.S. born. And I was just curious if you have any sense of whether or not that also may have to do with diet and lifestyle factors.
So we did find that there was a marginally significant difference between U.S.-born Latinos and immigrant Latinos with respect to the association of changes in everyday or day-to-day forms of discrimination with diastolic blood pressure, but not systolic blood pressure. So diastolic blood pressure is conceptualized as being influenced by passive coping mechanisms with respect to stressors in one's life, and it's plausible that folks are contending with stressors and engaging in a variety of health behaviors as they try to cope with those behaviors. So that's a possibility that that's linked with that, but it's the linkage between discrimination and blood pressure is what we're finding here.
And although we still don't have enough data to prove it, I've been hypothesizing that some of that is due to the fact that Latinos who are born in the U.S. tend to be more acutely aware of the day-to-day discrimination. They tend to venture more out of the community where you experience more of those day-to-day discrimination than when you're in a very concentrated, isolated community that's predominantly Latino. So it's a different experience.
All right. Thank you.